Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And we'll listen to Ty Olson, who is our guest today. And we will see, like we always do, when he tells whatever story he cares to tell about himself, where the love letter is hiding. And it may not even be hiding. I just met Ty after having known him kind of peripherally through Facebook mostly for months, and here he is right in my sight.
Hi.
I'm going to go to you. Talk about, well, just now I said you must have stories to tell, and you said many.
I have many.
So pick something and just start. You're an actor.
I'm an actor.
Who came here from Minnesota.
At 18 years old. And that was about a decade ago now. I'm 28.
Mm-hmm.
I left acting for a few years. I moved up to San Francisco and worked on a few clinical studies and
What brought you to doing that?
I was diagnosed with HIV in 2009.
Oh, okay.
And so that kind of turned up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to refocus.
Yes. And so how old were you when that diagnosis came to you?
I think I was 21.
And what made you go for a checkup?
That always interests me
because you can go for a long time and not know.
Right. I was a hypochondriac.
Well, I still am
a hypochondriac.
Okay, so that saved your life.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
But we caught it really early, and I got on meds within that year and became undetectable within that year. And I guess the hardest part was the mentality around it.
Sure.
I was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But not mentally.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. You just didn't know what to do
right with
yourself and your...
It kind of turns a person's world upside down.
Yeah. So you were seeing your life as something different.
My priorities changed. Things that were important to me at one point were not important. And I kind of lost track of, you know, the direction I was going and what I wanted to do. And
did you know people in San Francisco? Is that where you went? Why you went?
No,
there?
I knew nobody when I moved up there.
And so, but you moved up there after you were on medications.
Yeah, after I was diagnosed, I moved up there because a director that I worked with early on in my career, a movie called Watercolors.
Oh, I see. So you worked up. You went up there for a work thing. You didn't go up undirected.
No. The director that I worked with in Watercolors. I became really, really close with him and the producer. They became father figures to me.
Oh, nice.
And they wanted to do a documentary on AIDS life cycle, which is a bike ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
You did that?
I've done that. This will be my fifth year doing it.
You ride a bike all the way from San Francisco to Los Angeles?
I do. Every year.
I shouldn't be laughing at you, and I don't mean to be rude, but my goodness, that sounds just...
Amongst
daunting.
2,500 other people. So
I know. I realize you were doing
I'm not the only crazy one.
So it's not a matter of crazy. How do you, I mean, the endurance of that. So you stop every so long. You don't stop every three blocks.
They have rest stops every 20 miles, I'd say.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you spend a night?
And we spend seven. So we camp. Otherwise.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You could glamp if you want because there are hotels along the way.
Sure.
But.
You want to. Just define glamping, please, for those who may not know.
You check into a hotel instead of pitching up a tent.
Yes, okay. So that took you, what, 7 days, you said, that whole
Yeah, time? It takes seven days in the beginning of June. But the documentary ended up falling through, and I ended up staying in San Francisco and living up there and loving AIDS life cycle in the community. And
what were you doing for work up there?
I got into luxury retail. I was an assistant manager for a boutique called Longchamp. It's a French leather luxury.
And where is that located?
Grant Avenue.
Yes, I've seen that, of course.
I saw your Gary address.
Yes, okay. So then you came back here.
I came back here about a year ago.
Then what brought you back here?
My career, my acting career. I'm about 4 years away from it, and I dabbled in it when I was up there because I never wanted to really fully leave it. But the caliber of jobs down here, you know, there's much more opportunity.
Oh, sure.
Just kind of where you have to be. So I was super familiar with Los Angeles. I still had a lot of ties down here, and so it wasn't half as difficult as moving out here at 18. But I moved down here about a year ago, and funny enough, I started working as a woman more so than a man.
In film or just in other?
Film and television and commercial. And
now, why do you think that is?
I
know why that is. I'm looking at you and I can see that you would translate so beautifully either way.
Thank you. It's been...
Not everybody does.
It's been fun. It's not anything that I expected. And I've kind of just been running with it. That's my hashtag. I guess I'll run with it.
Oh, that's so cute. What let you know the first time? I mean, did you go audition for this as a woman, or what was the role? Or was it actually a woman, or was a man as well?
It was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And my friends, I have a few guy friends that like to wear heels out, and you know, I did that one time, and it was fun, and it takes practice. But I remember the moment that really kind of started my drag, and it was I Uber and I Lyft. So
you mean that's how you get around?
Yeah, I drive for Uber.
I didn't know which way you meant. Okay.
I was driving in San Francisco, and I had left. Well, someone had left a Chanel chapstick in my car by the end of the day, and I had like written in and you know let them know that I had this, and nobody.
Oh, that's right, because you have the advantage of being able to communicate with them directly.
Well, yeah, yes, but only until a certain point. So I contacted Uber and Lyft and let them know, but nobody came to claim it, and so I opened it, and I put it on, and it was the most beautiful red.
Oh,
and that kind of you know started my drag.
Uh-huh.
And after some time of going out in heels and wigs and with my friends.
Just for party time.
Just for fun.
Yes, okay, that was, yeah.
Running around in San Francisco, which is a lot harder in heels.
I know it is. I know it is. Although, I, for some reason, the thought came to me yesterday, just the higher the heel, the closer to God.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. So you run up and down those hills,
run up and down those hills, cycle up and down those hills. San Francisco is good to my legs.
Yes, it is good for legs. Okay, go ahead.
I went out for an audition as a woman in San Francisco, and I booked
it. So I'm just curious. So you actually went in drag and went for the part of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I booked it. And it was Japanese TV show.
Uh-huh.
I think it translates into World's Most Astonishing News. And it's kind of like a discovery reenactment crime show / game show where, I guess, celebrities decide which direction it's going to go. You know, remember those books where you were like...
So explain it.
Turn to page... You read up to a certain point, and then it'll say, turn to page 58 if you want, you know, this choice. But if you want to go down this road, then turn to page 62.
No, I never saw that. Okay.
And, I mean, one of those routes, you'll die quicker, but...
You die in any case, but you'll just die quicker?
Whatever the story is.
Yes. Okay, so you took on this role as a woman. I have a question. At what point did they know that you were anatomically not a woman?
I think the role was... I think it was a the role was a man who transitioned into a woman.
Oh, so that's what I was asking. So
it was the woman.
Uh-huh.
I did book the woman.
Yes, okay.
Role. So I guess it was a trans role that I booked.
Yes, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like Tootsie.
No.
Where you fooled
it
the
wasn't
world.
Just Veronica.
Okay. Okay. And so what happened after that? You said most of your roles were as a woman.
Well, recently since I moved back. So then I booked a few more things. One of them being a international Magnum ice cream commercial. And, you know, I make jokes that, you know, 10 years into acting, I make it to Cannes, but as a woman. It went to festivals and won awards, and that's out there. And I've done music videos now.
But always in drag?
Well,
I mean, is that something that you've established for yourself and that you're easier with because you really know how to do that by now? Or
I'm both as Ty and Taylor. Taylor is her name. Taylor Quick.
Oh.
As of now, I'm thinking of streamlining it, though, and just making it Ty all around. What do you think of that?
I think that's great because then people will always know it's you.
Streamlines it.
That too.
Are you booking me as a male or a female? Sort of.
So you go by Ty and then you can say, are you booking me as? I think, yes.
I like that.
That gets rid of a few steps.
Yeah, confusion
good.
On
okay.
set.
Now, tell me about your family. When you were diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
your parents are what, still in Minnesota?
They are.
And this was obviously, I shouldn't say ever obviously, but very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It came at a really difficult time for our family. My mother was going through a really hard diagnosis of her own. My sister was going through an extremely difficult time, and my father was having spine surgery that mm-hmm. year. So I actually chose not to tell them, just because of everything that was going on in their own lives. And it was hard enough for me to swallow, let alone for them during that time. And I wanted to tell them in person.
Oh, that is so nice, yes. How are they all now?
They're good. They're all healthy. They're all happy. Oh, they're all living in the same home in Minnesota.
You know, we all like happy endings, so that's wonderful. Okay, yeah. So everybody got through their horrors own thing. Now, so what's next? I mean, you said you had many stories to tell. I love stories. So pick another one.
Well, this whole drag thing is so new. I'm having fun with that, and I'm loving being back in L.A. Mm-hmm. I have my partner's in San Francisco, so I'm back and forth a lot.
Oh,
I still work up there.
And what does he do up there?
He's a chef.
Where?
Well, currently he's a chef for a family, so he's a private chef.
Oh yes. I say oh yes because you hear a lot about people who do that.
He's loving it, but he just recently left a startup it was kind of a instead of going out to a restaurant, you would get a chef to come to your home, mm-hmm. and it would be $40 a plate, and they'd come in, they'd cook, they'd clean up, and they'd leave.
Oh, that is so nice.
It's a service that you can book.
Cleaning up and leaving is delicious.
The best part.
It's almost as delicious as it gets. So what's the hardest thing for you now? I mean, you seem to be established.
The hardest thing? I'm juggling so many things just to make ends meet to do what I want to do.
Oh, so what is that? You're working other day jobs?
Well, I'm a stylist for Truemaker.
What?
Truemaker. It's built to fit menswear.
Ah.
So I have clients all over. Whenever I go to New York or Seattle or LASF, I'll meet with friends and family of theirs.
So this is your own.
It's a company that I work for. So I'm an outfitter
and
stylist.
And yet you're still responsible for your own clients.
Yeah. And I do that. I Uber and I Lyft sometimes. I do drag. I act. I book as male and female.
Do you ever do live theater?
I did a little bit in San Francisco.
Do you like that?
Not as much.
Is that right?
As film and television.
Now tell me why, if I may ask, because so often you talk to actors who are doing television and movies, mm-hmm. and they really can't wait to get back to live stage. What do you like better about
film and television?
If you have something.
I don't know. That's kind of a difficult question.
And you don't have to have a reason. I was just curious if there was one.
I like having a scene and doing it and shooting it a few times and being done with it.
Ah. Oh, okay. So both those things are important, really. Shooting it a few times. So if you don't do it exactly as you want the first time, you're not stuck with it.
Yeah.
And then the being done with it. I wonder about that sometimes when you see a play that's been on Broadway for 2 years.
Yeah.
And those people have to get up every single night.
And do the same inflection.
Yes, with fresh energy. Mm-hmm. That's I would
stamina.
Think that would be really difficult. Yes.
Yeah.
Harder than riding a bike from L.A. to San Francisco.
I don't know about that.
Oh, my goodness.
That one causes physical
Yes.
Physical
but seven
strains.
Days and you're done. It's another one of those done with
mm-hmm.
until
That's
the
true.
Next year when you have to do it.
That's true.
What is your favorite kind of role to play?
You know, I really liked the romantic lead in Watercolors. That was a lot of fun. And I love Julia Roberts' film career as the romantic lead. So
yes.
that's ideal.
That's interesting. I was going to ask who are your favorites. Julia Roberts.
I love Julia
You
Roberts.
Like romantic comedies.
I do.
Who doesn't like good ones? What are your favorites?
My favorites? Oh, goodness. My Best Friend's Wedding is such a... I mean, if we're talking about Julia Roberts right
yes.
now. My partner just watched that the other day. He had never seen it before. He is a little bit younger, but...
Because I like anything Cameron Diaz is in.
Oh, yeah?
Also. I mean,
she's,
I love
she's
that.
She's cute.
She's very cute.
She's fire.
That Holiday.
Mm-hmm, that's a good one. Jennifer Aniston's another one of my favorites.
Yes. So there are so many good ones. When they're good, they're great.
And I'll go see whatever they're in. One sort of situation.
Yes.
Kirsten Dunst is another favorite.
Oh, yes. I think she's wonderful.
She's quirky.
She's quirky. She's gorgeous in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. Have you, I think she's very smart.
Have you watched Fargo, the new
series? No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, I'm from way up there, and so it's fun to hear those accents again.
Yes. I mean, I saw the movie ages ago with Frances McDormand.
Oh, who's another great one.
She is another great one. There are so many, acting has gotten so much better, mm-hmm. I think, than it used to be. Why do you think? Because people are more natural at it?
Well, also, I feel like growing up watching film and television, you're able to soak in a lot of things.
Oh, what a good point. Like, the actors of the 40s did not have that advantage. No. They went to movies when they could.
Right.
But they didn't have it every night in the bedroom.
You're soaking it all in.
Yes. How many hours a day do you watch television?
That varies with, I guess, the week that I have.
I mean, I say that because I'm embarrassed at how much I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what is yours?
I don't have cable or anything, so I go to Netflix or Hulu or those outlets. So it's more of what I'm watching. So I'll try and squeeze an American Horror Story once a week or a Fargo right now.
Yeah. So not that much.
No, and I watched a TED Talk this morning.
So that makes a difference. That makes an interesting difference to me, whether you have to turn on the machine and log into Hulu and go through that. That's a commitment.
Yeah.
These days.
Right. And whereas it does mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, whereas if you turn the television on by remote while you're writing in bed up against the pillows, it's kind of a nice background. Uh-huh, yeah. You know, it's like the hearth used to be.
What's the hearth?
The fireplace.
Oh.
Yes. So young was the hearth.
I grew up with fireplaces.
And you should know, yes. Anyway, yes, so you could turn it on and it could be kind of a pleasant background moving wallpaper that you don't have to pay attention to.
You know, I have to tell you something.
Please.
They have those screensavers on TVs now.
Oh, what a screensaver. Oh, can be a moving thing?
Yeah, you can put a fireplace on your TV.
Oh, have you seen that? What is that called?
I think
they have it at Christmas time.
It's an app. I think it's, yes, that's what it is.
I know. And somebody, that is so brilliant.
I know.
That'll
be nice. You should do that.
No, I like people talking.
Oh, okay.
Yes, fires crackling are nice, but I like people talking. The first time I saw that, I couldn't believe what kind of people would watch that. And then I realized, yes, of course, if it's in your living room.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
And you want the feeling of the hearth. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's next for you? What was the hardest thing you've had to do? And then I want to know, how do you want to be remembered?
How do I want to be remembered?
Like, let's say you're 97 and you're starting to think about this.
As resilient.
Resilient. Oh, that's so, yes, if you're 97, everybody who is resilient, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be nice to be remembered as resilient. Happy.
So you want to be remembered for qualities even more than your work.
Well, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, okay. Think of that. But that's nice that you say that.
I like the direction that I've been going over the last few years, and it really is kind of honing in on HIV advocacy and LGBT films and television shows.
Have you been called on
and,
to do some of those?
LGBT films and that's all I have really under my belt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I've done a couple features.
So you're counting everything you've done,
right,
obviously, as in drag as that, of course.
Okay. Yeah. I recently just did an anti-smoking campaign as Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun, an LGBT anti-smoking
campaign. Do you have a website you'd like people to know about?
TyOlson.com. Okay. T-Y-E.
T-Y-E dot Olson. O-L-S-O-N. That's important.
Not Ian. I'm not related to the twins.
But, right. Okay. So the thing is, if these days, I think if you get something wrong, you type it in wrong.
It'll
the internet fairies
yeah.
are good enough to, yes, say, did you really mean something else?
You can type in T-Y-E and then I'll come up.
Oh, because how many are there? Probably not a
There's
lot.
Another one. His last name is Sheridan.
Really? Is that?
Yes.
So I have a question, because I'm always charmed by it. What is it about drag that is so adorably charming and funny? I mean, unless it's a tragic story of some sort. But
right. But I
what
feel,
is so appealing?
I feel like the individuals that do it, like, they don't... You can't take yourself that seriously.
Okay, so maybe that's all the way back.
You have to be somewhat goofy. crazy, like fun.
And not taking yourself seriously is really a gift. Not putting yourself in the center of the universe is the most important.
And having a good time. And yes. I feel like the people that do that, they aren't taking themselves that seriously. They're putting wigs and heels on and they're going and running around and, you know, dancing on stages and they're entertainers.
That is such a good explanation that I've never even considered. Because when you look at even a movie like Some Like It Hot,
yeah,
you know, which was really before general popular drag theater. That yes, that's what you get. Not seriously.
Yeah, the kind of people that do it are usually really fun.
Yes,
fun people.
Yes, and you need people need an escape from serious.
That's true. That is kind of an outlet for me. I didn't even think of that.
Yes, an escape from serious. On the other hand, we also want to look at serious sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's everywhere all the time.
Yes. Well, there's different. I think there's a difference between two things. Tell me what you think. I think there's a difference between serious and horror and bad news. Mm-hmm. I mean, the newspaper, I wouldn't say it's filled with serious.
No.
There's nothing thoughtful as a rule. It's just a lot of bad, horrible news.
Yeah, I try to avoid.
Pardon?
I try to avoid.
Yes, and the more people I talk to today, they're not reading the newspapers anymore. Mm-mm. Not because they're not willing to look at bad news. God knows there's enough of it. But they're not willing to look at only bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Life has both ends.
Mm-hmm. I like TED Talks. Those kind of give me that little optimistic boost in the morning rather than, you know, what's been shot down here.
I mean,
it's good to know those things, and I do find out via Twitter and via social media and all these things, but I don't sit there.
But the thing with the TED Talks, and, you know, I think you're doing that just by doing this, I believe, is letting people know what their possibilities are in the midst of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have to sink down to non-existence because we're burdened with challenges.
No, you address it. You address it and you, you know, figure out a way to get over it and through it,
Over and through. And, you know, people sometimes talk about getting over things or getting, you know, I'm not over this yet or I haven't made. I don't think, sometimes you don't ever get over something. You
learn
how to live with something and you move over and let something else in. Mm-hmm. You?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I try not to, I forgive, but I don't forget. That's been a thing of mine.
Okay.
I mean, you just,
I don't think, I don't think most people do forget.
No, you live and you learn, but you know, that whatever it was that you need to forgive was probably a turning point of some sort.
Okay, so let me ask you something. I'm gonna just slide right into love letters.
Okay.
Because that whole business of turning, you know, a turning point, I have seen, and I do feel, that sometimes a love letter to the person who has done you some damage or the thing that has blocked your road and made you think this is the end, it is a turning point.
Mm-hmm. And it could be the end from, you know.
And a letter of appreciation to that person is really a gift. And guess who it's a gift to?
Me.
Whoever writes it, sure. So who would, if you were to write a love letter right now, I'm hoping that you'll go home with some homework and do it. And maybe you have already. Your love letter, if you were to write one right now, who would it be to? And you get to count yourself in the list of possibilities.
I don't want to write a letter to myself. Maybe difficult time.
See, I'm big on history.
Mm.
And you have an important role in theatrical history.
Mm.
You're going for roles as a woman in theater at a time where 30 years ago you couldn't have done that, right? There was no such thing. So you're taking part in something that's part of movie history for sure. Anything you write will be part of that history.
Yeah, I think I want to focus on someone, not that it's done me wrong, because I've addressed, I think, all of the situations where I felt done wrong, and I've done just that, and it really does let, you know, a person free. I think I would like to write a a love letter to someone that's challenged me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pushed me.
Will you be able to say exactly the ways in which this person has pushed you and challenged you? I'm not asking you even to share it out loud right now. But the specifics make a beautiful letter.
Yeah.
If you can.
Uh-huh.
There's something about putting it in writing that will let that person be able to read and reread. Do you ever get letters that you read and reread?
I keep them.
Of course you keep them. Mm-hmm. Everybody keep. What kind do you get?
Love letters.
Okay. So there's something to keep, right?
Yeah.
And when you're, again, when you're 97 and you bring those out.
Well, even if you're having a rough day.
That's right.
They're on the wall.
That's, oh, good for you. Okay, mm-hmm. So a constant reminder.
I have them hanging.
You what?
I have them hanging.
Yes, okay. That's really an important enough thing to say about love letters, that could be it.
Well, what could be it?
Like our conversation about love letters. Like, you don't have to even, you have a history with them. You receive them and mm-hmm. you've got them up. That's the kind of thing I like to know.
My mother always made us write thank you letters.
Good.
Handwritten thank you letters.
Yes. And why did she do that?
Well, just for the reasons that you say, you know, it's nobody really does that anymore. And to have something in your handwriting.
Oh, there you go.
It
your handwriting. Yeah. Yes. Handwriting is king in those things.
Well, even more so now than a decade ago.
Yes. It's a real little treasure.
We all type.
Somebody said to me the other day, well, I don't have to write a thank you note. I mean, I said thank you. And that's true. But there's something about a note that lets it know. That you took the time to mm-hmm. do it, yes. Equivalent in spirit to the time somebody else took to go to the store and buy you a gift
mm-hmm.
and park.
And park.
And park. Thank you for parking. That should be like the first thing.
Oh, that's a great movie title.
Dear, yes, it would be. Thank you for parking. Oh, my goodness. And getting through traffic on Ventura and Sepulveda.
Ooh, I took Magnolia.
Oh, good for you. Okay, well, there's a way around. But still, there's so many things to put in a thank you note. So many things to thank for besides the blue dish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, thank you for doing this with me. This is I like the way this turned out. Thank you.
All over the board.
Yes. Well, I don't mind all over the board. So I hope that at some point you will write this thank you note. I'm going to say this out loud because this is not a television moment, but you were so intensely thoughtful when you were thinking about that, that I could see that there was a lot there.
Mm.
And I'm guessing it takes some bravery to do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose.
But I hope you do, because somebody's going to have a treasure forever, whatever it is, from you. Thank you, dear.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing this with me. I was so glad you said yes, because yes has become one of my favorite words. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and Ty Olson saying goodbye. And I just want to remind you that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just take a look at any day in your life. And I'm sure that you will see somebody's done something nice for you. Somebody has, we had a guest once, and this so struck me. She was having, she said, the worst day of her life, where she just did not even see a point in a next day. Mm. And she got on a public bus to go to work, feeling just awful. And she said, and the bus driver smiled at me, and I knew things would be okay. I want to write him a letter. For smiling at me on the worst day of my life. Mm. There's always a reason. Okay, so just pick yours and do it. You'll make someone so happy. Talk to you later.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.